Jesus says, I want to come into you as an individual and I want to change you. Would you like to have me come in and do just that? And so as we talked about in our Bible study last Wednesday, and we'll kind of continue on this subject. So we continue on our Bible study, we're going to find that it's not so much that we receive Jesus and we profess a prayer. Yeah, I'm saved and going to heaven because when I was a teenager, I said a prayer. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when you receive Jesus Christ, your life changes. You know, there's a lot of people who confess that they're believers in Jesus Christ, yet they don't show it at all. And Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. Well, am I acting like the child of a king or am I not? Big difference. See, Pentecost gives me the Holy Spirit inside of me that changes me, makes me different, makes me new. And because of that, he's always on me to let go of things that I shouldn't be doing and moving me on to things that I should. That doesn't mean we're perfect, and it doesn't mean that we're ever going to get there. But it's a continual moving closer to God. That's what we call sanctification, just a fancy word. And so what I'd like to do is kind of show us a little bit, and then I'm going to have Ivan read a little bit, but I'm going to ask Heather and Robert to come up here up front because they wish to be baptized. Now, I'll share this story. We hired Paver Mac to do our pavers. And this guy right here, Mr. Military Man, he's like, all right, he's like, get her done. Oh, you got to get to the middle so everybody can see you. Come on up here. You're doing good. You're not embarrassed, are you?
No.
It's okay. Nobody's going to bite you. So, me being me, as they're out there working and Robert's popping in and out, overseeing everything, I would share a little bit of the gospel, just a little bit of the gospel. Little did he know that Al and I had already had a discussion about his crew. And so I was just planting some seeds. And then after a little while, they were gone, and I invited them to church, and I never saw them. But I got your email address, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I started sending stuff. And I got your phone number, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I started sending him stuff. And I'd hear a great song, and I'd say, here's a great song, and I'd send it to him. And he never sent anything back. He never even said, got it, or oh, I like it. Nothing. And it was 3 weeks ago that I went out to check the back parking lot to see if everybody was here and we were going to start. I open up the door and this team comes up. And I was like, whoa, what's this? How you doing? So he comes in. Katie had just changed the welcome card that was passed out. And I had told her the night before, get rid of that question, would you like a pastoral call? Because nobody ever circles yes. Well, I was handed the card that he had filled out, and he circled yes. Thank you. So I called him, and I said, you want to have lunch? And he said, yes. So we had lunch, and we met up in Osprey. And we're talking, he was telling me how he's tried a bunch of different things in life. He'd really like to have an answer to kind of pull it all together and pull his family together. And I said, well, Jesus, I told him the story. And I looked at him and I just said, would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And he said,
yes.
Amen.
Right there. And then it was like 2 weeks later, because Mother's Day was in between there. And so I said, why don't we all go out to lunch? We'll take Heather and you together, and we ended up at lunch. So while we're at lunch, Katie and me and these two and their kids were talking, and I said, Heather, would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she said, yes. And I'm like, so I'm kind of like all giddy because I wanted to baptize him, but I was like, no, I don't know anything about Heather. I don't want to do him by himself. They need to be a team, right? So we got the team. So today, this is what we're going to do. Now, if you were a Baptist, we would take you to a pool inside this church, and we would dunk you under the water, okay? Now, they get a little crazy about baptism because they say you have to be baptized to go to heaven, and you have to be immersed. That's not in the Bible. It doesn't say that. So what we go is, okay, well, what's the last thing when you go underwater that typically gets wet? Your head. So we're going to pretend that we're dunking you under the water, okay?
All right.
And we're just going to wet your head. Now, here's what we have that nobody else has. I don't want to say nobody. We got water from the River Jordan. Who brought this? Was that you? James made arrangements to get this. Not only do we have water from the River Jordan, but you see something floating in there? You see that every day at work, don't you? Isn't that like a stone in there? A little stone, it's a little rock? That is a rock from the temple in Jerusalem. See, nobody else has that. We're special. So we're not just going to dunk you with tap water. Turn around and face us here. So far, painless. Dearly beloved, for as much as all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I call upon you, Father God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through your grace, that you will grant both Heather and Robert the grace to receive the forgiveness of sins and be baptized with water and the Holy Spirit, that they may be received into Christ's holy church and be made living members of it. Let us pray. Almighty God, we love you and we thank you that you come to the aid of all who need. We know you have had your eyes on Robert and Heather for a very, very long time. And that while sometimes they kicked against the goads and rocks and tripped and fallen, you had them in your eye all the time. We call upon you, Father God, that you would confirm by the power of your Holy Spirit inside of their spirit and our hearts, that they would know you intimately. And that intimately they would draw closer to one another as you point them and direct their eyes each to one another, to love as you love, to care as you care. We thank you that you died for their sins and for ours. And we thank you for this opportunity to be born again and new. We might start a new life that goes on into eternity in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, you've come here, I'm using the official book, you've come here desiring to receive baptism. We pray that God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus would release you from your sin, which he has. That's the whole point. And he would sanctify you and be born in you in the Holy Spirit, which he has. And that you will know for certain that if you were to die today, you're going to go to heaven. And you know that, right? You know that for certain. Nothing can take that away from you. Nothing. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. And so I want to ask you a few questions. Do you earnestly and truly repent of your old life and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you?
Yes.
Do you desire to be baptized in the Christian faith?
Yes.
Will you commit yourselves to obediently read and apply and study God's holy word and follow what he says and walk in the same way through the word all the days of your life? Will you?
Yes.
Yes. That is excellent. Miss Katie, now. I love this, man. This is so cool. He can stay here if he wants. He can stay if he wants. Everybody seems to love Miss Katie. Why don't you kneel right here? So far, it's painless, right? Starting with you. Because I've already told you, you are the spiritual head of the house. What that really means is you're the fall guy. Everything rests on you. If you don't do what Jesus says, or you mistreat your wife or kids, you answer to God. So you get to go first. Nervous? Yeah, you should be. Robert Walsh, what a joy and a pleasure and honor it has to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I baptize you in the name of the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless, keep, and preserve your precious life and guide you into all truth until that day when you see Him yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Heather, you don't have to answer to God. You answer to Him. I'd rather answer to a guy than God, because He forgets nothing. Now, it doesn't make Him the boss, like you have to do everything He says. But, you know, Mom teaches the kids the godly ways. So you carry a lot of burden. A lot of times it's hard to keep your mouth shut. A lot of times it's hard to do things when you know you just like to belt Him. But that's what God calls us to do. And all of the women in here are behind you. So, Heather Walsh, I thank God that I have had the honor and pleasure of serving Christ by sharing the gospel with you. Do you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? So it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the will and the work of God, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God bless, keep, and preserve your precious life till that time when we will see Him together forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, why don't you and Tracy come up here. Come on. Join us in prayer, will you? Al has been praying, he told me, for Robert for a long, long, long time. How many years did you say? Like 16 or something?
A lot. A long, long time.
It's been a long time. Isn't this a good day?
It's a good day.
Yeah.
I think it's only fitting that you're here to complete this thing. Father God, we love you and thank you and we praise you. You are the giver of life. You are the one that makes sure that we are eternally secure. Satan cannot drag us. He cannot tempt us. He cannot draw us away in any way, shape, or form. We are preserved by the blood of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this glorious day, which comes after much, much prayer. Keep us all and unite us stronger together as we grow in grace until we see you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the youngest believers on the face of the earth. All right, so guys, this means a whole new life for each of you. Now, it also means that this is almost like you're getting started.
All
right. Or not. Right. Isn't that true? Isn't that cool? That's exciting. All right, guys, have a seat. Thank you so much. Wow. How many remember the day you got saved? It only gets better. All right, kids, you can go. Chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And you're going to tell them what you're going to read, right, boss?
All right. I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, 1 through 8, skip verses 9 through 11, and pick up at "We hear the declaring," and read through verse 24. When the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came on to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in each other's tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each of us hears them in our own native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, corrupt generation, those who accepted his message, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him."
I love that part. Peter starts talking to them. "You guys, you took Jesus and you nailed him to the cross. But this man was handed by over you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. You wicked men. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death." Wow, that's good. Al, we've had your name on the list there. I don't know if it was spelled right, but it's on the back of the prayer list. Can we stop praying for you, okay? He wants to keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going, all right. I'm going to pray for Randy. He's going to be going. Pray for me. We're going. All kinds of stuff. Anybody else have anything? Things going? Yeah.
We've prayed for her for a long time, Christy Purse, and I think of Lovey Older. She did pass away this week.
Oh.
She leaves behind two young boys.
Yeah.
So just keep her in the
family in her purse. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden. And as I've said over and as I explained to Robert before, which is really, really important from the story, that God decided to put men made out of dirt empowered with himself on the one planet where Satan and all of his demons had been cast. Now, I don't know what you think, but that's foolish. I would not turn my baby over to a pedophile in any way, shape, or form. That would seem rather ridiculous. But God chose that men would be his stand-in to the challenge that Satan had made, that I will conquer you, I will have your throne, I will throw you off of it, and I will rule. Because God has to allow a challenge, he had to let him try. He couldn't have just wiped him out and destroyed him, because then all of the angels and everybody in existence at that point would kind of go, well, that wasn't very fair. What are you afraid of? You see how that goes? So we had to allow the challenge to stand. So they were cast here. We don't know how long on earth. There's a lot of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. They were here. And God came down, built Garden of Eden. And he formed man out of dirt and made women from the rib. Called them one flesh. Gave them the job of going out and ruling and reigning, which is the job that Satan used to have. Which really made Satan angry. When God was explaining the terms and the rules of you're in charge, just make sure you do everything you're supposed to. Follow me. Name the animals what you want. Just don't eat of that tree. Satan was right there and he heard the whole dialogue. God knew he heard the whole dialogue because he made sure of it. We know what ended up happening. Adam and Eve fell. We don't want to blame women. They fell. The point is that we were thrust into a point where Satan ruled over us because we sold ourselves to the devil. But God had a plan. He had made a promise. There will be a seed that will come from Adam and Eve, and there will be a seed that will come and ultimately destroy Satan and his world. Alluding to the fact that I chose this even though I knew it was going to happen all along, men and women are still my stand-ins. The boxing match is still set. The stage is still there, and they're still my people. But because of choice, God had to allow even them to go their way or not. Move forward. We see lots of choices being made by different people, sometimes to follow God, sometimes not to follow God. As we get down through the ages after Noah, then we get Moses. This is where we start getting into the real. With Moses, we end up finding, Abraham, we find God promising that he's going to take a whole group of people and make them his. Now we're instead of all the world, we're just going to section off one group of people to make them my people. And he said to them, I'm going to see that they're enslaved for 400 years. Don't really know all that, so what that's all about, right? But I'm going to set them free, and they will be numerous as the stars of the sky, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. Move forward 400 years. Aren't you glad you didn't live that? Our country isn't even that old. Move forward 400 years, and we find now the children of Israel that are now slaves, that are brutally being mistreated. And God calls a guy by the name of Moses and said, Moses, you're my guy. Isn't that wonderful? Just like you said, when you're God's guy, you're going to be sent into the dark places. Go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, we know how that goes with all the 10 plagues, and we're moving through this. But after the last plague, where the firstborn of all the Egypt were killed and destroyed, during that night, God had said, here's what I want you to do. I will send an angel, and the angel of death will come, and they will take out anybody who is the firstborn of any family. It doesn't matter who. Unless you sacrifice a lamb, take some blood from that lamb, dip some hyssop branch into it, and strike the lintel and the doorposts of your house. And when the death angel comes over your house, you are to be waiting inside, eating the meal, being prepared to march out into freedom. And when that death angel comes over your house and sees the blood, he will pass over your house. Doesn't take a lot of rocket science, does it? I will pass over. It took the blood of a lamb. The children of Israel, they get real excited because the next day he said, eat that meal in haste, because after that angel comes through and the sun comes up, you are leaving. And I love in Exodus where it says, the children of Israel marched out boldly. They thought they were something special because they were also marching out with all the gold of Egypt. God had given all the women the propensity to give them their jewels. They walked out rich and healthy. They didn't have a whole lot of weaponry, but they really thought they were bad. Till they got out there in a little part called the Red Sea. And the Egyptians went, what are we doing? We lost our labor force. Let's go back and get him. Show him a lesson. And we know that story, how the waters parted. And the children of Israel went through and the Egyptians were drowned. Passover. Freedom. 50 days after the Passover, when the children of Israel were passed over and marched out, they now find themselves in a really interesting spot. Anybody know where?
On the side of the sea.
Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 20, if you want to turn there, gives us the story. 19 sets it up. On chapter 19 of Exodus, verse 16, it says, on the morning of the third day, all of a sudden, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. That's why I wore this tie. Lightning on top of the mountain. Chapter 19 of Exodus, verse 16. Thunder, lightning, a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. There is a movie on Prime that shows this. Talks about finding the real Sinai, and the mountain top is black. They're presuming it was because of the fire. Continue to read. Everyone in the camp trembled. Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Can you imagine how fearful this must have been? How tremendously scary it was. And then to make matters worse, God talks. Lord descends on top of the mountain and calls Moses to the top. And he says, and Moses went up. And the Lord says, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see me, or they will perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. What's that mean? Look out, people. Do not even attempt to come close to me because I'm pure and perfect and you are sinful and we cannot get together. The reason for the thunder and the noise and the smoke and the fire was to make people afraid. You can't come near me. Do you not understand? You come close to me, I have to kill you because we cannot be like this. But I want to be able to get some stuff messaged to you. It is then that we see, if you've ever watched Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments, we see Moses going up on top of the mountain. And he's up there for a long time. When he's up there, he ends up getting the Ten Commandments. But if you want to take the time to read chapter 20, you're going to find out there's not 10. There's actually 613. Everything from if you borrow a donkey from your neighbor and a donkey dies, you got to replace it. Todd and I have replaced that today with if you borrow a four-wheeler and you break it, you will fix it. It's an unsaid rule.
What about a dolly?
What's that?
What about a dolly?
No, I stole that outright. Yeah, that's good. I borrowed it. It's just a long term. I'd like you to open up your Bibles now to chapter 32, because between chapter 20 and chapter 32, God is on a mountain talking to Moses, giving him the commandments of what it takes to get close to me. Because you are evil and I am perfect. I'm going to tell you just what you have to do if you want to know me and get close to me. And he lays out all of those rules. Then he lays out the rules for a temple or a tabernacle where he can come down and find a way to somehow, after all this blood sacrifice and all these offerings, that he could at least get a touch of the people and they could get a touch of him through a priest. But chapter 32 is sad because it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't even know what happened to him yet. So Aaron answered him, go ahead and take all those golden earrings and all that stuff. Just give them to me. And we know what he did. While Moses was still up on the mountain talking with God, Aaron formed a golden calf to worship and follow. We know what ended up happening because Moses comes down and he hears the people reveling and having a party and having a good old time. Chapter 32, verse 19 says, when Moses approached the camp, he saw the calf and dancing. And his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and buried it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, what did these people do to you that led them into such great sin? And then Aaron says, well, I really don't know. They were unhappy. I just threw all that gold into the fire and this thing came out, which is a complete lie. Moses gets angry. Verse 25, it says, Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. If you remember, by the Levites coming to him, saying, I choose God and you instead of the calf and the people, they ended up becoming the priests of God. Come to me, you who want to follow and choose me, the choice again. And then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap on a sword to your side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, killing your brother, your friend, and your neighbor. And the Levites did as Moses commanded, and in that day about 3,000 people died. Moses then said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you because of your choice. Why don't I read that? From Passover, when the angel passed over to not kill them because of the blood, 50 days later, they find themselves on top of the mountain. And Pentecost is when the law was given to the Israelites. That's when it traditionally is celebrated, that God was on the mountain giving them the law. Now, fast forward several thousand years. God had made a promise. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. We have the Passover that just took place. Remember, what do we celebrate at Passover for us? What's it called?
Easter.
God provides the lamb in his son Jesus Christ. And the lamb is sacrificed on Passover. When he is killed 3 days later, he is raised from the dead. And they celebrate that as a first fruits, as a wave offering. And I was just going to tell Robert this. What that meant is that we're thanking God for his provision. God supplied the perfect sacrifice. We can't find them one. There is none here on this earth. God supplied it. And so Jesus, it said, after he rose into heaven, he said, be prepared because I'm about to do something new. Remember he said in John 15, if I don't go away, I cannot send the Comforter to you. And the Comforter or the Counselor will come and he will teach you all things and he will remind you everything that I told you. In other words, he's going to be in your spirit, in your heart. You're going to know him personally. And then he left, and the disciples with 120 people were sitting in that room. Do you remember what Ivan read? When all of a sudden, in Jerusalem, the disciples and 120 people were all filed into an upper room, wondering what just was going to take place and what was really going to happen. Because Jesus was gone, and he had told them, hey, don't worry, I'm going to send something. And then all of a sudden, a replica of what happened on Mount Sinai takes place in the very room. Suddenly, there's a loud rushing noise. Do you remember that from being on top of Sinai? A loud noise, thunderous noise, a rumbling. So loud, it says in that book of Acts, that the people in Jerusalem who happened to be there for Passover, Pentecost. They were there for Pentecost because they had to be. It was part of their religious duty. They heard, wow, what was that sound? It would be almost like we were sitting in here and we heard a loud explosion. So loud, we know, what was that? And so we tear out of here and we go out to try to find the source of the noise. And that's what all the people in Jerusalem did. Let them write to the disciples. And here are these ignorant men. I say ignorant because they were just common folk. Normal workers, they weren't educated, they weren't Pharisees, teachers of the law. Here they are speaking in a tongue. Now don't let that get you crazy, because what happened in the 70s is a Pentecostal movement took place, which could be considered good. I don't consider it good. What ended up happening is people started saying, God is doing something different. God is doing a new work, something new he's never done before. Well, the only problem, he's never promised that. He said that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And so you get a lot of people saying that if you get baptized by the Holy Spirit, like Robert and Heather, they got baptized, the Holy Spirit comes and fills them. Now, the sign of that is that you're going to babble in an unknown tongue. That's not biblical. It says right there, and I had Ivan, were you glad that I nixed all those names of those countries? There's a whole list of countries he skipped right over that you can barely pronounce. How is it that we hear these people speaking a perfect language in our language, proclaiming the glories of God and what he is doing right here and now? We hear this from stupid fishermen, stupid pavers, stupid landscapers. How do we get this? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, because God said he would do it. So from Passover at Easter, now we have Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out on every being, and we still have the choice. We can choose to follow Christ, or we can choose to not follow Christ. We can choose to yield to the Holy Spirit and say, yes, I want what you have to offer me. I want a new life, and I want guidance and directives as I read your word to follow you in a way that will lead me to life eternal and peace here. How many regret accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Thank you. There have been times in my life I thought he was letting me down, only to find out later on he wasn't. He was protecting me. He has never let me down. He's always been there for me. From Passover to Pentecost, everything happens. And you know the sad thing about the tradition of today? You see, back in the Old Testament, the Jews had to go 3 times a year to Jerusalem. It was a 4 celebration, and Pentecost was one of them. Pentecost is the least understood and the least celebrated in all the Jewish feasts because they don't get it. They don't understand it. They can't understand it because they don't understand Jesus as the sacrifice of the sin for my sin and all mankind. They don't get it, so they don't even hardly celebrate it anymore. But you know what the next feast is? The first 3 are in the spring. You know what the next one is? Anybody want to take a guess? It's called the Feast of Trumpets. And on the mountain there was a loud noise and a trumpet loudly. What's going to happen when you hear that? I don't know if that's going to be the tune he plays. But when you hear the loud trumpet, what's going to happen? He is coming for his bride. Who's his bride? Hallelujah, me and you. But until that time, we are here. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And every day we walk. Sometimes we don't walk a straight line. Sometimes we go a little crooked. Sometimes we don't do the right thing. But we are his. I belong to Jesus and he belongs to me. And there is nothing that can snatch me out of his hand. Ever. Amen. That doesn't give me the right to go out and do anything I please. It means whenever I do anything I please, the Holy Spirit's going to be there going, what? Oh, you know that. You laughed. You know that. Okay. What? What are you thinking? We are blessed. We are blessed. Thank you for the opportunity on Pentecost to remember the story of how Jesus poured his Holy Spirit out, and I can know him personally. He can live inside of me. And thank you, Robert and Heather, for loving one another and serving one another and being part of our team and our crowd. Thank you, Al, for coming and verifying Tracy. I got a great song for you, and then we'll get out of here. Go ahead, Mike. Do I need to turn this on? Probably. No, we're good. Go ahead. Stand up. You don't know this song, but it's a good one. Oh, no. I've listened to this song at least 15 times.
Regretting all my mistakes, but I can't forget without these steps. I wouldn't be here today. Hallelujah, blessed for this journey I'm on. Cause with every step, joy in our strength, another step closer to home. Hallelujah, blessed for this journey I'm on. Down as well. Until you see it's meant to be, you're gonna keep telling yourself. I should've understood life. I couldn't make a better.
We're going to get there. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Hope you are too. See you Wednesday night. John, you want to pray us out of here?
Father God, thank you for the island in this room. Thank you for the message today. I thank you for the new members of our family. Father God, I know there's a party in heaven right now. And let there be a party in all of our hearts, Lord, for the two that just decided to give their life to you today, Lord. You are amazing. Be with them every day, Lord. It is one step at a time, but you will be there. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all your provisions. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.